Morning. Today's daf Baba Basra is Yedaled. We are still in the first part of Baba Basra, finishing up the sugya from yesterday about how to divide a partnership, how to dissolve a partnership. One partner wants to get out. We do not have enough assets within the partnership to make make an equitable division. Equitable by that we mean, says the Mishnah, going back to Daf Yud Aleph, is that everyone's going to be receiving a significant amount. The Shmo Alav is the guideline and the parameter in which the Mishnah taught us that you have to be receiving enough where it's still going to be considered a division, even though we divide the item into two, where it's significant, where it still has the same name as it originally was. So if you have a field, so you have to have enough field remaining after the division where it's still going to be significant. What if it's less than that? So it's not to be divided. What about a buyout? So that was yesterday's discussion, which we're just going to quickly finish up right now. Can we have a buyout of one partner or the other? And this is a question of Godo or Agod. So Godo or Agod, as Rashi explains yesterday, is basically we're going to do as follows. We're going to have the one person who would like the buyout, who would like the dissolvement of the partnership, to go to the other person and say, here we go, I'm going to give you a price. Now, either I'm going to buy you out, or you're going to buy me out with that price that I gave you. And by having the offer going in either one of those two directions, so basically it's going to make the price a fair price. The price could be over what its true value is, but still. In other words, either you're going to get that money or you're going to pay that money, one or the other. So can we force a buyout? This was a machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda says, yes, we could force a buyout. And Rav Nachman says, no, we cannot force a buyout of one partner over the other partner. And what we've been doing since the machlokes Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman is basically we went through a number of mishnayos and brises which are going to support one opinion or the other. So this is what we've been doing up until now. So we are going to continue. We are right in the middle of Gimel Amud Beis, not in the middle, a little bit above. I'd say about a third of the way down. The words we're starting with is Amar Le Abaye. So the first words in the line are Nichali, Dechsiv Esonim Matanas Yechya. And now the Gemara has more discussion on this topic. Amar Le Abaye, Rav Yosef, Had Rav Yehuda Deshmolhi. Now this position of Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda does allow for the buyout of one partner over another. And this Shita of Rav Yehuda is really none other than Shmuel. Now, mind you, of course, Rav Yehuda was a Talmid of Shmuel, meaning Rav Yehuda had two Rebbeim in his lifetime. Rav Yehuda was first learned by Rav, and after... Sorry. Yeah, yeah. Rav Yehuda first learned by Rav, and then after the death of Rav, then he moved over and he learned by Shmuel. So it's his Rebbe, did not. And how do I know that this is a Shita of Shmuel? For the following reason. Kisei Kodesh al-Fapisha Shneim Rotzim Lo Yachlok. We learn back in the Mishnah that if it's Kisei Kodesh, if it's Sfarim, Tanakh, Sifrei Tanakh, so even if the partners are amenable to a division, you don't divide Sifrei Tanakh because it's not appropriate. Right? Rashi back in the Mishnah says Genai. It's just simply not appropriate. Now, Ve'amar Shmuel Lo Shana Ola B'Krach Echa. Now, the Shita of Shmuel is that that's only when it's one Krach, when it's one volume. Now, volume over here, I don't mean, we're not talking about books right now. These are now bound books. These are rolled scrolls. But that's only when it's one krach. So if it's two krichos, so then you divide it. When we say two krichos, meaning, let's say it's Torah and it's Nevi'im. And if one is Torah and the other one is Nevi'im, so then it's going to be divided. Now, it's going to be divided. Now, we don't know this right now, but presumably, it's going to be divided even if both parties are not amenable. Presumably. Now, if that's true, let's consider. One person's getting a Torah and the other one's getting Nevi'im. So the truth of the matter is, it's not an equitable division. Now, I know we're giving a monetary value to Sfarim HaKadoshim, but still, they do have a monetary value. Ask anybody who purchased a Sefer Torah. It's got a monetary value. So it's not going to be an equitable division. So obviously over here, we're assuming now that the two partners are not amenable to the split. So, and we are dividing, and the only method in which we're going to be dividing is going to be a forced buyout. So if it's going to be a forced buyout, so this would be supportive of the Shita of Rav Yehuda. And that's exactly the Gemara's point. Now, if you cannot force a buyout, so it doesn't matter whether what we received in the Yerusha is one krach, it's one roll, or shei krichos, or it's two rolls. If the two parties are not amenable to the split, so then you can't be split. And the only way that it can be split is through a forced buyout, which would be supportive of Shita's Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Tirgama Rav Salman, Bishishneim Rotsen. So Rav Salman says, okay, but we walked in with an assumption, and let's just change that assumption. We thought that this was describing a situation where they were not amenable to the split, and the Gemara says, but that's not true. Meaning, we're talking, the Bryce is talking about a case where they are amenable. And since they're both willing partners in splitting it, that's why, if it's one krach, we're not going to split it, because Ganai. Because to take a sefer and to cut it, even at a good place to cut, it's not ganai. That's just simply not that's not appropriate. But if it's shei kricho, so then it would be fine. Then it would be okay. So Amar Amemar Yochasa Istina de Good Ogun. So Amemar says that his conclusion is that if one of the two partners wants a division of the assets, so then we could have a forced buyout. So Amar Le Rav Ashla Amemar Had Rav Nachman Mai. So really, that's interesting. What are we going to do with the sheet of Rav Nachman? Meaning, you're passing like Rav Yehuda, you're not passing like Rav Nachman. And what are you going to do? You're just going to ignore sheet of Rav Nachman? So Amar Le Lo Shmia Li Klamar Lo Svirli. And his answer is very simple. Yeah. Meaning, I didn't hear of Nachman, meaning I don't subscribe to Rav Nachman, meaning, yeah, that's right. I don't. In other words, obviously, we have to, in terms of halacha, we have to hold like one position, and I hold like Rav Yehuda over that of Rav Nachman. V'lov, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, I'm a little bit confused. V'ha, Rava bar Chinana, Ravdimi bar Chinana, Shavaglu avar tarti amasa. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider the following scenario, where there were two Amorayim, both the son of Chinana, and Chinana dies, and he leaves as the estate two shvachos, two maidservants. Now one knew how to cook and bake, and the other one knew how to sew and weave. Okay, so each one of them had their particular skill. Now they go to Rava and they say to Rava, what are we going to do? Meaning, here we have now a partnership on the estate, and the estate in this particular case is comprised of two maidservants. And what are we going to do? The Amrlu lays dina to go to all good. And to which Rava said, as a psak, well, you can't force the buyout. And so, therefore, you're basically stuck. In other words, you're going to have to share. Like we said in yesterday's daf. So, but over here, the question is very simple. Didn't you just say that the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda? Meaning, didn't we say that the halacha conclusion is godo agud, that we could force a buyout when one partner wants to divide? And over here, why are we not forcing a buyout? So, Shani Hasam, de lamar mi bai le tarvayo, lamar mi bai le tarvayo. So the Gemara says like this. Over here, in this scenario, we can't force a buyout because they, meaning both brothers who inherited the estate, are both in need of both services that are being provided by the two shvachos. Remember, one basically is the culinary expert and the other one is the sewing expert. And if we were talking about a scenario where one could receive one and the other could receive the other, so then fine, we could talk about a forced buyout. But over here, they both need her. And under those circumstances, we are working now in a scenario in which they can't receive a portion of each. Meaning, remember, right, Rashi reminds us, right? Lav Godo Agudhu, Lo amarle o kachshem o ekachshem dechol achas ein ba kedei leechad. You can't take each one of them and divide them, each one of the shvachos and divide them amongst the brothers. So, ki kamarle shkol ata chada vaanachada lav gadu agadhu. And so, therefore, when I say to you, "Well, I'll take one and you take the other," so that's not a division of the estate. Because these two are not looked as two equal/separate entities, but they're looked at one unit. Mm-hmm. And you can't take each one and divide them into two. And by each brother receiving one, that's not a division of the estate, in that we're looking at them as one entity, so therefore we cannot force a buyout under these circumstances. It's if I may, it's like what we learned yesterday. It's like when the estate was a behemoth mea, right? It was a non-kosher animal. You can't divide a non-kosher animal. So the only thing that a non-kosher animal has in terms of a benefit is going to be the service that it provides. Same thing over here. Okay. So the Gemara again goes back to the Braisa, where the Braisa was talking about two brothers who inherited as part of the estate two krichos, two rolls, two scrolls of Torah and Nevi'im, and we said that they can't be divided amongst the two brothers. We are going to assume now that each one wants both the Torah and the Nevi'im. And meanwhile, we said that if they're two krichos, they can divide it. And again, we're going to go back to that same assumption that we had just a moment ago. We're talking about a case where they were not amenable to division. So, HaTigrimah Rav Salaman Kisharatsu. But the Gemara reminds us, yeah, but that was the Havamina. But the Maskana was is that that particular case was talking about where they were amenable to a division. And that's why one's going to get the Torah and the other one's going to get the Nevi'im. But if they were not amenable to a division, so you cannot divide such an estate. Okay, Adkan. All right, so that takes us to the end of the discussion of the Gemara regarding Godo Agod. Can you force a buyout? So the Gemara had a lengthy discussion of whether you could or you could not. Lengthy. Yeah, it's most of the daf. Starts on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph and ends right here at this point in the on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And Machlokas Rav Nachman, Rav Yehuda, Machlokas Amoraim in terms of who we passen like. Okay, continuing in the Gemara Tana Rabbanan Mad Big Adam Tar Nevi Muksuvim Kecha Divrei Meir. And so as long as we got onto the discussion of Tanakh, so now the Gemara is going to launch into a lengthy discussion. It's going to be today, it's going to be tomorrow. Yes, and it'll go into Tuesday as well. We're going to go launch into a lengthy discussion regarding Sifrei Tanakh. We all know that Tanakh is a composite of three levels of Sefer. The first one is Torah, right, made up of Chamishei Chumshei Torah. The second one is the Nevi'im, right, we're going to go through the list exhaustively. We're going to be discussing really tomorrow's daf, the Sfarim that are made up of Nevi'im, specifically the authorship, specifically the order. All that's coming up in tomorrow's daf. And the last section is Ksuvim. And tomorrow maybe we'll talk a little bit about what the difference is between Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Now, Sefer Torah has the most Kedusha. The Gemara in Megillah tells us that when you have a Sefer Torah and you have Nevi'im, so the Torah must be placed on top of Nevi'im. And Nevi'im is not to be placed on top of Torah. So we know that Torah has more Kedusha than that of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Can I bundle? I kind of mean that literally over here. Can we take one scroll and can we write on this one scroll all of Tanakh, all 24 books of Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim? So that is going to be the subject of discussion in the Gemara. It's a debate. The Braisa, the Gemara brings down a Braisa, and we are starting now with the Braisa. I'm going to reread the beginning of the Braisa, Tanur Rabbanan. Madbik Adam Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. A person can. The word Madbik means like Devek, to put them together. So you can basically put together in one scroll, obviously it's going to be very long, all of Tanakh. A Divra Meir, that is Shitas Rabbi Meir. Now, what's going to happen when you roll it up? Yeah, right. So what's going to happen when you roll it up is that obviously it's going to be, it's inevitable that you're going to have part of Nevi'im on top of Chumash. Wow. So Tosus is bothered by that. Tosus writes, fourth Tosus on the Amud, Mad Begadim Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim Ke'achad Alpha P. She Efshar Shalit and Nevi'im Ksuvim Al Gabi Torah. So you're going to have the Nevi'im Ksuvim on top of Torah, Uvim Megillah, Perek Beis. And in the second Perek Megillah, Mashma Da Asur Laniach. And the Gemara says over there that you're not allowed to place Nevi'im on top of Torah. So how, according to Rav Meir, how does all this work? So what you'll have to say, and here Tosu says it, when there are two separate scrolls, so then I can't put the Nevi'im on top of the Chumash. But if they are one entity, so I would say simply Ein Breira, and Tosu says Ein Ganai, meaning you have to say that. In other words, it's just simply not going to be a disgrace to the Torah roll it because they're all considered, it's all connected together.
you do it reverse, then the Torah comes out on top of the top of everything else.
Yeah, but there's, I mean, there's Torah on the top, but there's also Torah on the bottom as well, because you're rolling it.
Yeah, but it's Torah over the Torah.
But yeah, but the Nevi'im, at one point, Navi's going to be over Torah.
Doesn't if you go backward, the other way.
Even if you go backwards, meaning, but there's still going to be, it's rolled. So there's Torah on the top, there's Torah on the bottom, there's Navi on the top, Navi on the bottom. Whatever. Visualization over here would be very helpful. It's inevitable. It's totally inevitable that one's going to be on top of the other. Back to the Braisa. So far we have Shitas Rav Meir, who says that you can write Tanakh on one long scroll. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tov Bifnei Atzmo, Nevi'im Bifnei Atzmo, Ksuvim Bifnei Atzmo. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to keep them separated one from the other. Again, going back to Tosfos. Next Tosfos is on the Amud. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tov Bifnei Atzmo, Lo Bimei She'asal Anich Zeh Agav Zeh, Master Shei Kol Echa Bifnei Atzmo, Delash Yechan She'asal Anich El Nevi'im Ksuvim Agav Torah. Now, Tosfos says it's not a function of the fact that you're not allowed to put Navi on top of Torah, meaning you're not allowed to put Navi on top of Torah. But that's not what is driving Rav Yehuda. And Tosha says, and I'll prove it to you, because the only Isser is to put Navi on top of Torah and to put Ksuvim on top of Torah. But once you're past the Torah, and once you're in the area of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, so then there's no problem to put one on top of the other. So Aval Nevi'im Agabi Ksuvim Oib Chalom. There is simply no problem to put Navi on top of Ksuvim, or Ksuvim on top of Navi. So that's not what's driving this halacha. So what's driving this halacha, says Tosfos? Elahinu Taimashal Yira HaKol Kemo Torah. Oa Kol Nevi'im. Ki Echid Ami Chachamim Basar Hachi Debao Shei Kol Navi V'Navi Bifnei Atzmo. V'akarchach Taimashal Yen Yira HaKol Kemo Navi Echad Keinir L'Rashma. And basically, it's to compartmentalize Torah and Navi and Ksuvim. Tosfos says, I want people to understand that sectionally, that compartmentally, that organizationally, they are separate entities. So you want to keep the Torah by itself, and the Navi by itself, and the Ksuvim by itself. And this is not a function of, you can't put Ksuvim on top of Navi because you're allowed to. It's a function of just how we need to perceive and organize Sifrei Tanakh. And then V'chachamim Omrim, back now to the Gemara, the Braisa, and this is the third opinion. And Tosfos already told us what's going to come up next. V'chachamim Omrim Kol Echa V'Echa Bifnei Atzmo. Every Sefer has to be written independently. So in other words, Sefer Yeshayahu has to be written separate from Yechezkel, separate from Yirmiyahu, separate from Yoshua, you get the point, etc., etc. Every Sefer has to be written by itself. And again, just going back to the same Tosfos we just read, and why? So again, there's no problem with putting Sefer Yeshayahu on top of Sefer Yechezkel. That's not the problem. The problem is, again, just in terms of how we compartmentalize and organize, we want to know and understand that Yeshayahu and Yechezkel are two different Sfarim in Nach, in Navi. The Amar of Yehuda, Ma'isa Bebaitis Benzun and Shayu Lo Shmona Nevi'im Miduvakim Keechad. So there was an incident with Baitis Benzunim where he had the eight Nevi'im that were Miduvakim. They were written together all on one long scroll. Api Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and he did so under the instruction and guidance of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Yesharim Lo Ayulo Ela Echad Echad Bifnei Atzmo. Period after the words of Elazar ben Azariah. Okay, so basically, in other words, he went along with the shita of Rav Yehuda, that the Nevi'im could be written together. Now, in another version, right, in the Girsa of the Bach over here, this is now Shitas Chachamim. Right, the Chachamim Omrim, Lo Yolo Ela Echa Bifnei Atzmo, that every Sefer had to be written independently, meaning on a separate scroll. Am Rebbe, Maisa Ve'vilo Fanena Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, Udubakim Ke'echad, V'hichshar Num. Now, here in this version, despite the fact that the Chachamim say that every Sefer should be written independently, an entire Tanakh was written on one scroll, and we said Kasha. Meaning, as a hiddur, it'd be nicer if all of them were written independent of one another, but kosher if they were all put together. Okay, so far in the Braisa, what have we seen? Tanakh, meaning macro. We're looking at the entirety of Tanakh, 24 Sifrei Tanakh. So how is it to be organized? And are you allowed to write them on scroll, or should they be divided? So there are three shitas that we've seen so far in the Braisa. Shitas Rav Meir is that you can write all of Tanakh on one sefer. Shitas Rav Yehuda is that Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim all need to be separate into different Sfarim. And Shitas Chachamim is that every Sefer should be written on an independent scroll. Okay. And again, Tosfos' explanations we went through is that it's a question of our perception and our need to compartmentalize and organize. Next. We know that in the Chumash themselves, so the Chumash is divided sectionally into five Chumashim. In fact, the name kind of gives it away. It's called Chumash. Chumash means five. I know we knew that. So, Bein Chumash or Chumash, so now you're writing it, but even though it's Chumash, even though it's divided into five, it is a Sefer Torah. It's one Sefer Torah. So now, when you're writing your Sefer Torah, so you are, on one hand, from a totality standpoint, so it is one sefer. But from the standpoint of, it is to be divided into five chumashim. That's also part of the Masorah. So now the question is, what do I do in order to indicate and identify that we are now left one chumash and now we're entering into another chumash? Says the Braisa, this is a continuation. So you have to leave four lines of empty space when you're going from one chumash to the next. So you finish sefer Braisa, you go to Shmos, there should be four empty lines. So, and the same thing is true when you're going from one Navi to another. You finish sefer Yoshua, now you're up to sefer Shmuel, so you need to leave four empty lines. Now when you're in Treyasar, so Treyasar is a composite of 12 Nevi'im, which are shorter in word count. So there, a smaller space of three empty lines. What you are allowed to do is, let's say you get to the end of a sefer, and you haven't yet gotten to the end of the column. What you're allowed to do is you're allowed to basically now go to the next page and start on the top of the page. Right? Anyone who has proficiency in word. So you know that you can basically, even if you want to start where you document at the top next page, so basically there's a feature in which you can just basically start next page. So when it comes to a new sefer, right, you can basically start the next page. Tana Rabbanan, we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Tana Rabbanan, Rosh Ladabek Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim Keecha Medabek Va'ose Berosho Kedei Lagol Amur Uvesofa Kedei Lagol Hekef Umitzayim Alamato Maschem Alamala. Okay. Our next braisa also discusses a person putting together all of Tanakh, all 24 books of Tanakh. And if you want to be medabik, if you want to put them together, turn to Vim Ksuvim, so you may do so according to this braisa, which presumably is going like Shitas Rameir, which we saw in the previous braisa. And you just need to leave empty space at the beginning and at the end, meaning it's a really long scroll. And so what you need to do is leave empty space in the beginning and empty space at the end. How much in the beginning, how much at the end? So in the beginning, Kedei Lagol Omud. You know, we all know that we're going to be rolling the cloth around a pole, right? Atzei Chaim. So we're going to be wrapping it around the pole. So there needs to be enough empty space at the beginning to wrap around the pole. And over so far, now when you get to the end, Kedei Lagol Hekev. Well, we're going to assume right now that there's only one pole. I know our Sefer Torah have two poles, and we're going to be discussing that in just a moment as well. But for our purposes right now, let's assume that it's one pole. And so you keep wrapping around, and obviously the more you're wrapping around, the thicker it's going to get. You need to leave enough empty space at the end so that there's an entire circumference of empty space so that it wraps once around with only cloth, with only empty space of cloth. And again, the instruction that we just saw previously, which is that if I finish a sefer and I didn't get to the bottom, so what I may now do is I may now go to the top of the next amud and start from the top of the next amud. Now, and the braisa ends with the following words as we turn now to the top of Yudal Man Aleph. And if you're going to cut, you may cut. Now, how did that point work with the previous point? My kamar, that's exactly the Gemara's question. What just happened in those last four words of the Braisa? In Balach Tochotech. Hachi kamar, the Gemara says this is what was meant by the last words of the Braisa, which is She'im Balach Tochotech. Perfect. Which means that what you may do is, if you finish one sefer, and you're on one scroll right now, and you now want to write a new sefer, so you finish sefer Yoshua, and you're going to go now to sefer Shmuel. So, and you, when you finish sefer Yoshua, you only got halfway down the Amud. Only halfway down the column. No problem. What you're going to do is you can start now Sefer Shmuel. You don't have to. You could start Sefer Shmuel right four lines later. But what you can also do is you can also start Sefer Shmuel on the next on the top of the next Amud. Well, that was, I think that was only for Treyasar. I got the impression that was for just Treyasar. Yeah. So, you're going to start, you could start now at the top of the next Amud because that's where the last lines of the Braisa fit in. Because in anticipation that if you're going to cut, well, now you're in good shape. Because now you're going to be cutting and everything looks nice, adjusted, and aligned. Where Sefer Yehoshua ended in one column and Shmuel started at the very top of the next column.
We said before, and it's all one. You're not supposed to cut.
Perfect. Perfect. Tosos. Very good. So Tosos on top of Yudal Amud Aleph. Okay. Tema the Rashba. So this is the Rashba over here, meaning that's one of the Balei Tosos. Not to be confused with the Rashba. Who's the of the yeshiva of the Ramban. Anyway, Tema Rashba. Hamar la'el b'shtei krichos cholkin. So, Uper shakunshus kegon Torah b'krach echad, nevim b'krach echad, mashma aval Torah, nevim b'krach echad, ein cholkin. Afilu shneim rotzim. V'im kein eich amar hacha dechotech. Mamsha question. So how previously we said you're not allowed to divide here. We actually are anticipating that we're going to divide. So Tosos makes a suggestion, which is that if we're dividing it because two people, they had enough of each other, they want to divide one another, you're going to get part and I'm going to get part, that's Bizayin. That's a Ganai. But if one person owns it and he just wants, you know, he wants different svarim. So Tosfos suggests that that's not a problem. Very good. Okay. Uri Minhu. The Gemara is bothered by the following. What have we seen so far? The number halach is regarding the writing of a Sefer Torah, and really more of a macro discussion of putting together Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim on one Sefer, and rolling it. And we are now going to be focusing on the roll. We said that when you roll the beginning of the scroll, you're going to be rolling it around one roll, and you only need enough empty space in the beginning so that it rolls once around the pin one time, and then when you get to the end, right, just for us to visualize, it's going to get thicker and thicker as you keep winding it. So you need at the end an entire empty space so that it wraps one time around the circumference of the remain of the end of the sefer. Now Urim Minhu, the Gemara is going to be bothered by another brisa which indicates that there are two Atzei Chaim at Sefer Torah that we're much more used to seeing. Tchila Sefer V'Sofa Kedei La'Gol. That at the beginning of the end, you need enough empty space to roll around. Now, the Braisa doesn't say perfectly clearly, but Kedei La'Gol Mai. What did the Braisa mean? Ikedei La'Gol Amud Kasha Hekev. Ikedei La'Gol Hekev Kasha Amud. Well, are we talking about around the pin? Are we talking about around itself? And it's not clear. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Litzadon Katani. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, we're just simply going to have to split, we're going to bifurcate that last brisa. Meaning, the first empty space you're going to need to roll around the Atzei Chaim, around the wooden pin. The second one is going to be on the circumference going around itself. That's all. And so there's no steerer between the first brisa and the second brisa. Rav Ashi says, no, let's give a more fundamental response, which is, Kitanya Ibe Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says we're going to make a very basic distinction, a fundamental distinction, between the writing and rolling of Nevi'im and Ksuvim and the writing and rolling of Sifrei Torah. The writing and rolling of Nevi'im and Ksuvim is done around one Eitz HaChaim. So you're going to have one pin, roll it around. Now remember, that first roll, you just need enough blank space, enough empty space to roll once around the pin. And then as you keep rolling, when you get to the end, you're going to need enough blank space in order to roll around itself. The blank space in the beginning is going to be significantly smaller than the blank space at the end. However, when you roll a Sefer Torah, it is now, according to Rav Ashi, expected that there's going to be Atzei HaChaim. There are going to be two rolls, one at one end and one on the other end. And so therefore, now we understand. Obviously, the empty space, both at the beginning and the end, does not need to account for it rolling over itself, because each one is only going to be rolled over an Eitz HaChaim. So the Gemara says, Kedetanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Kol Svarim Nigalam Mitchalam Sofam. When it comes to all the other Svarim, meaning Nevi'im and Ksuvim, so it rolls onto itself. Sefer Torah Nigalam Siyah Sovo, Selo Amud Elech Ve'elech. So there are Amudim on each side, and you roll on each of the Amudim. Now, the Gemara does not say why, But I think it's very fair to speculate that the reason why is because, quite frankly, we use the Sefer Torah more on a more regular basis, right? We're every week, more than every week, right? Three days a week, four times during the week, minimally. So we're using the Sefer Torah. So we want it to be more functional, where we're going to be rolling back and forth, and we're going to be going both directions. So I'm simply suggesting it as a pragmatic issue, although it could be much more fundamental than that.
Okay. How do you do a Hasbro when you have only one? I'm not sure.
Amar Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Tzedek Kachay Kosei Sfarim Shibu Yerushalayim Osim Sifreihem, and this is how the Kosei Sfarim in Yerushalayim, that's what they would do, in this manner that we just described, where there were two Amudim, and they would roll the Sefer Torah onto the two Amudim. Again, we're so used to it, that's what our Sefer Torah looked like. Tanur Rabban, yes.
Is the beginning of the scroll on the inside, and you're rolling this way, and then at the very end, the entire.
Yeah, I hear you. Seemingly, that's the way I would visualize.
I'm confused. It's obvious, but I don't get it.
Okay, it's fine. No, it's fine. That's how I would visualize also. You mean when we're only using one number?
Let's say you wrote the whole thing out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are you going from, let's say, gracious?
If it's one amud, I assume that we're rolling from Bracious and we keep rolling it onto itself. Right. If it's one amud. But the Gemara's conclusion is, like our Sefer Torah, they're going to be two amudim. Tanu Rabbanan in Osin Sefer Torah, lo arko yoser al akefa, velo akefa yoser al arko. Okay. Now this is very hard to do, as the Gemara in itself is about to point out. Meaning it's not hard to do, it's hard to gauge. And gauge is almost like the perfect word to use to describe over here. You want a perfect Sefer, if you were going to get to a perfect Sefer Torah, so you're going to want the height of the Sefer Torah to be the same linear distance as the circumference. Now, this is an aesthetic issue. Again, it could be much more than that, it could be more profound than that. It's certainly not going to apostle your Sefer Torah, as we will see that in a moment in the Gemara, but just from a aesthetic appearance, if the height of the Sefer Torah and the circumference when it's rolled is equal, so then you have a nice Sefer Torah. I'm trying to find the right halachic words to describe it. Now I understand the Brisa, the way the Brisa presents itself, it sounds very objective, definitive. This is the only way to do it. Meaning I'm just going to read the
metrical,
right. It's a, right. So the ain osin sefer Torah lo arko yosel akiva lo akiva yosel ako. The way the Brisa presents it's like you have to do it this way. The Gemara itself is going to admit in just a moment. It's nearly impossible, and it's certainly not going to be a psul in the Sefer Torah, but right, symmetry is a nice way to describe it. It's symmetrical, it's nice. It's aesthetic. Shalom, as Rabbi Shior Sefer Torah Bekama. So let's project, let's predict. Meaning, now, here it gets a little bit tricky, because what are we talking about over here? Meaning, not every sofer has the same handwriting. Not every sofer stylistically has, you know, there's no absolute uniform way in which, you know, the sentence has got to end here, a pasuk has got to end here, a chumash has got to end here. So, admittedly, with no fixed way to do so, this is not going to be a perfect science, but let's just throw out some ballpark numbers so we know where do we need to, our starting point is, what's going to be the height of the Sefer Torah so that when it's rolled, the height and the circumference are going to be equal with one another. So, now again, there's a lot of variables, and there's a lot of things to take into consideration. First thing you have to take into consideration is the thickness of the parchment. Obviously, the thicker the parchment, the more your circumference is going to be. And so that's what the Gemara is going to take into account. Shalu is Rabbi Shir Sefer Torah Bekama Amar Lehem Begvil Shisha. So if you're using Gvil, so then it's going to be six tfachim high. Now, Gvil is the height of an animal before it is split. Meaning you could take the height of the animal, basically you could separate into two. Basically there are two membranes, one over the other. And I'm not a sofer, I don't have any real shemesh in terms of safras. So everything I know is just basically having gone through the Gemaras. But, you know, it'd be better from my standpoint if I actually saw the hide, you know, taken off the animal. Right, I need a field trip. Basically, what I'm asking for is somebody sponsor me on a field trip. Last year, by the way, my first when we get to Chulin, I'll get much more excited about it. But last year was the first time I was actually involved in a shechita, and I did the bedikas rea. I checked the lungs and with my own hands. Okay, I know that's great. I checked the lungs. Okay, we'll do this, and with this we'll go on. I checked the lungs while the lungs were still in the cavity of the chest. I know that's exciting. So the okay. Anyway, and no one's going to want to shake my hand after this. Okay, I totally understand. But anyway, the gvil is where the two membranes of the hide are together. Obviously, what that's going to do is create a very thick hide. So now we're anticipating now that the roll is going to be very thick. So under those circumstances, a standard sofer writing on such a sefer Torah, if the height of it is six tefachim tall, so then you're going to have a situation in which the circumference is going to match the height. So, beklaf bekama niyodea. Now, if you're using klaf, now klaf is where the membrane is divided into two, so obviously you're talking about a thickness which is about half of what we describe by the gvil. So, admittedly, he says, I don't know. Okay, he didn't do enough study, he didn't do enough, he didn't do enough trials, whatever. He doesn't know. Rav Huna Kasev Shivan Sifrei Torah writes, V'lo Yisrael Melei Elachat. Rav Huna wrote 70 Sifrei Torah. In of itself, an amazing feat. He wrote 70 Sifrei Torah, V'lo Yisrael Melei Elachat. Now, in terms of getting the symmetrical match where the height and the circumference were equal, one of the 70 only made it as a match. And again, as I pointed out, the other 69 are not treif, they're not pasul, circumference and height. So only one of them was able to. He was able to match. Rav Acha bar Yaakov kasev chad amashche digla. Rav Acha bar Yaakov wrote a single sefer Torah using the hide of a calf, the Isra Melei. And just the other day in the daf we were talking about luck, right? Even a blind person can somehow navigate, you know, through a skylight, right? The Gemara said just the other day. And so over here he got it, meaning the height of the Sefer Torah that he wrote, this first Sefer Torah, the height of the Sefer Torah he wrote was a perfect match with the circumference as it was rolled up. And so now you had a symmetrical, aesthetically pleasing Sefer Torah, and he got it the first time. So Yavu Be Rabban Einai V'Nach Nafshei. Now, admittedly, a strange conclusion to the story, which is that he engendered a lot of jealousy amongst his colleagues. They gave him the Ayin Hara, and he died. Now, obviously, the philosophical issues of, he didn't do anything wrong. In fact, all he did was just write a Sefer Torah. And it happens to be that he had good mazel, and he got the match of the height and the circumference.
It's written over here from the Chasan Sofer that he used the
Shem and
Mephoresh to be able to get it.
Magiello.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Okay. All right. I didn't see it. Okay. Very good. Very good. Okay. The Amalei Rabban Le Rav Amnuna Kasa Rabbi Amidala Meyot Sifrei Torah. So the Chachamim reported to Rav Amnuna that Rabbi Ami wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. Now 70 Sifrei Torah that the Gemara just documented just a moment ago, 70 is an amazing feat. 400 is beyond an amazing feat. 400 is a guzma. It's an exaggeration. You can't write in your lifetime 400 Sifrei Torah. So Amalehu Dilma Torah Sivalan Moshe Kasav. So over here, perhaps what was meant is that not that he wrote an entire Sifrei Torah 400 times, but rather he wrote the pasuk of Torah Sivalan Moshe 400 times. The significance of that says Tosfos. Third Tosfos on the Amud of the Amar Rabbeinu Tam, the Osa Pasuk Kari Torah, meaning it's fair to say that that one Pasuk can be referred to as Torah. Kedah Amar Beperek Gimel de Sukkah, third Perek of Sukkah, where the Gemara over there details and outlines some of the basics regarding Chinuch. And Katna Yedela Daber Aviv Malam De Torah Torah My Torah Torah Tivalan Moshe. And when your child is first able to speak, so the first words you should be teaching your child is Torah Tivalan Moshe. So that could be, says Rabbi Natam, why our Gemara refers to the entirety of Torah embodied in that one pasuk. And then, of course, you have to explain better how that one pasuk is really the embodiment of all of Torah. Okay, that's for the drasha. I'm not giving the drasha right now. Amalei Rav Rabbi Zera, not to Rabbi Yana Arba Meos Karmei. Another nearly unbelievable feat, and that is Rabbi Yana planted 400 vineyards. Now, in my lifetime, I have not planted one vineyard. So I don't know how unbelievable a feat it is, but it's unbelievable. I mean that here literally. It's unbelievable. So So let's not say that he planted an entire vineyard, because to do that 400 times over is just, it's an exaggeration. It's a guzma. It can be. What it must be is that he planted the most rudimentary vineyard made up of 1, 2, 3, 4, and a fifth. Now, you see the Gemara in Sota. Rashi sends us to the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota says that is the base minimum vineyard that you plant in order to be exempt from going to war. We know that if you built a new house or married a new wife or planted a new vineyard, so you're given for that first year a patur from having to go out to war. So this is the Gemara in Sota over there outlines exactly what the base minimum is, and it is basically 5 vines that are planted. There's a specific configuration. That's what the Gemara is making reference to over here. See the Gemara Sota for more details about that. And that's what Rabbi Yana did, but he did not plant 400 full vineyards. Meisvei. Okay. We are going to ask a question. Now, this question is going to take a long time to present itself. So, what we're basically going to do is we're going to go through, we've done this before in Shas, and we're going to do this again later on as well, and we're basically going to talk about the Aron, and we're going to talk about the dimensions of the Aron, and the fitting of a Sefer Torah inside the Aron. So, be patient. It's going to take a little bit of time, the remainder of this Amud, top of the next Amud, where we're going to go through the entire dimensions of the Aron, and at the end of it all, the for us, the reward, the punchline is going to be, is that our Sefer Torah of 6 Tfachim tall, with a circumference of 6, is not going to fit in the Aron. Okay, with all that stated, let's go over our dimensions. Okay, I'm going to go through this quickly, but it's the truth of the matter is the picture here is really valuable. The dimensions of the Aron built by Moshe is 2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5. We're really only interested right now for our purposes in length and width. You can ignore the height for our purposes right now. So length is 2.5 and the width is 1.5. Now that's an amma. Now an amma is made up of tefachim. How many tefachim? So interestingly enough, it's a machlokas. How many tefachim go into the Mishkan's amma? And we're now going to go over both shitos. One shita is 6 tefachim, and the other shita is 5 tefachim. So ba'amma ba'shisha tefachim. So we'll start off with the shita of 6 tefachim. So now it's 6 times 2.5, and it's 6 times 1.5. So our numbers are going to be 15 and 9. Thank you. Okay. 15 and 9. V'aluchos are k'shisha v'rechman shisha v'avyan shlosha. Now, as far as the luchos are concerned, they're 6 by 6 by 3. And again, for our purposes right now, we're just going to look at the dimensions of 6 by 6. Okay, because they were laid flat in the Aron. And there were three tefachim high. So Munachas keneged argo shel Aron kama luchos ochlos ba'aron 12 tefachim. Now each luach is going to be placed side by side. So each luach is 6 tefachim placed next to one another. 6 plus 6, that's 12. Now remember, our dimensions of the Aron are 15 by 9, but 15 by 9 is the measurement externally from one end of the Aron to the other end of the Aron. So now, let us take a look at the Aron. We're going to go from end to end. Now we have 3 tefachim beyond the 2 luchos. Now, each wall is made up of a half a tefach. So the 2 walls, again, we're going from end to end along the length of the Aron. So that's 1 full tefach. Plus the 12 of the luchos. So what are we left over with now? 2 tefachim. Nishtarusham shnei tefachim. Shebehem sefer Torah munach. Now, in that last 2 tefachim of empty space, a sefer Torah was placed in the Aron. Shenamar. Now, how do I know that? The pasuk says, Ein ba'aron rak shnei luchos avanim. Asher nichsham Moshe. If you read the pasuk in Malachim kipshuto, There's nothing else in the Aron. In fact, Ein Ba'aron Rak Shnei Luchos Avanim Asher Anich Sham Moshe. But using the methodology of Drush, in this case, my Ein Ba'aron Rak, what do we have? Mir Rachamir Vein Mir Rachamir Al Rabos. So the double negative, like in math, the double negative is a positive. So the double negative over here actually is an inclusionary term. Something else went in the Aron. What is that something else? The Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah Shemunach Ba'aron. Okay, now, we're not asking the question yet. The question that we're going to get later on is, it doesn't fit. We're going to come back to that. But as long as we're here now, we're just going to keep going through the dimensions. Pinas Aron Larkot Seir Pinas Aron Larachbo. We did the length of the Aron. Let's do the width. Kamaluchos Ochlos Baron Shisha Tfachim. Now remember, the each Luach is 6x6 Tfachim. So now in the width, so the 6 make up 9. In other words, there were 9 in total. The width of the wall is a half a tefach, 2 on each side of the width, so that's a full tefach, so that's 6 plus another 1, so that gets me to 7. The total measurement is 9, 9 minus 7 is 2. And basically what it allows is literally a little bit of wiggle room, so that we can, if necessary, take it out. Why in the world would we ever take it out? Not my question, that's Tosus's question. The Im Tomar, I'm looking at Tosus again. When would we ever take it out? It was never taken out. You'd only go into Kodesh Kodashim once a year, and even then the Kohen Gadol wouldn't touch the Aron. Wouldn't take it out. Okay, so basically Tosfos says, and you probably would have guessed, maintenance. Meaning, okay, there's a certain amount of maintenance that needs to be done, and you're allowed to go into Kodesh Kodashim for maintenance, which is a way, I got a lot to do. So maintenance, so therefore, you could say the same thing regarding the Sefer Torah as well. Okay. All that was the dimensions of the Aron according to Rabbi Meir. Let's go to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Abba, Amar Bas, Chamisha Tfachim. So here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the same now, 2.5 by 1.5, but the big difference, of course, over here, is that each Amma is only made up of 5 Tfachim, not 6. So now it's 2.5 times 5, and it's 1.5 times 5. So now your dimensions are going to be 12.5 by 7.5. So now, our Aron, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is going to be already smaller. The Luach is still the same measurement. So now we have the same Luach going into a smaller box. We got, it's not problems. It's just obviously the configuration is going to be different. How is it going to work? The Gemara spells it out. Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Abba, Amar Bas, Chamisha Tfachim, Valuchas, Arkan, Shisha, Verachman, Shisha, Vavyan, Shlosha, Munachas, Barakos, Aron. So now we're going to go along the length of the Aron. Kamaluchas, Ochlam, Aron, Shnei, Masar, Tfachim. Nishjari, Shem, Chati, Tefach. So now the Aron from end to end is 12 Tfachim. They're placed right on its back, so to say, side by side. And now, the total distance lengthwise is 12.5. The luchos themselves eat up 12. That only leaves the half a tefach. And remember, we haven't even accounted for the walls yet. Tefach, so sham chatzit, I'm sorry, nishtar sham chatzit tefach, etzbal kosel zeh, etzbal kosel zeh. So the thickness of the wall, according to Rav Yehuda, is just but 1 etzba. 4 etzba is going to every tefach, so 2 etzbaos in total is a half a tefach. We have now accounted for the entirety of the length of the Aron, according to Rav Yehuda. Basically, it's a snug fit for just the luchos, and that's it. So, pinas Aron la'kotzeh, pinas Aron la'rachbo. Now, let's do the width according to Rav Yehuda. Kam luchos ogdos ba'aron shisha tfachim. So, we are looking at the luach. Each luach is 6 tfachim along the width. Nishtar Hashem tefach umechsa, leaving us a remainder of a tefach and a half. Because remember, it's only 7.5 from end to end, and that's the external measurement. Tzemem chatzi tefach etzba umechsa kosel zeh, etzba umechsa kosel zeh, a half a tefach for the thickness of the wall. Nishtar Hashem tefach shebo amudim omdim. Now, along the width, there actually is a tefach space. What do we do with a tefach space? So we put in amudim on each side along the width. Shenamar. Yeah, there were two amudim. Shenamar, apriyon asalo amel shlomam yaseh levanon amudim asey kesef refidato zahav merkavo agamon. So Shlomo HaMelech made two silver amudim, poles, that he placed along the width, that one empty tefach that was, well, actually we're going to take it and divide it into half, a half a tefach on one side and a half a tefach on the other side, and the poles, the silver poles, were placed in by Shlomo HaMelech.
That's what it was?
And they're not atzichayim, they're just silver poles that were placed in. Maybe to secure it, perhaps. Right. Again, two different sheets over here. The Arga Sheshigra Balplishan Darun Lalaka Yisrael Munach Mitzidau. Now, there was another Aron gifted to us by the Plishtim when they returned the Aron to us. Shenemar Vezkleas of Asher Hashivosim Lo Asham Tasimu Ba'argaz Mitzidau Vishilachsem Osav Alach Ve'alav Sefer Torah Munach. And according to Rav Yehuda, that's where the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu went, on an adjacent box. Shenemar Lakuch Sefer Torah Zeh Usmantem Osam Mitzad Aron Bris Hashem Mitzadu Munach V'lo B'socha. Now according to Rav Yehuda, placed on the Sefer Torah is placed on the side, not in the Aron. Not in the Aron. Umani Mekayim Ein Bar Aron Rak. Now what does he do about the double negative, which was an inclusionary term? Which means that something else went inside. What else went inside the Aron? According to Rav Yehuda. So Larabos, we're now on the top of Yudal Medei, Shivrei Luchos, Shemunachim Ba'aron. So that is the Shivrei Luchos that also went into the Aron as well, according to Shitas Rav Yehuda. Okay.
What about the jar of the month?
Okay, good. That's good. You're remembering the Gemara Shkol. Okay, good. Okay, good question. Okay, now, all this was just a setup for to ask the following question. According to the Shita of Meir, where the Sefer Torah was placed in the Aron, it was placed into a two tefach space. Now remember, your optimal, most aesthetically pleasing, and presumably, Sefer Torah that was written by Moshe, we're going to assume Moshe hit it right on the mark, is where it was six tefachim in height, and the circumference was six tefachim. Okay. Now, we generally assume the following throughout all of Shas. The Gemara in Erevin speaks this out specifically. Our Gemara also quotes it as well, is that the ratio between the circumference and the diameter is a ratio of 3:1. Now, those of you who, you know a little bit of math and like it, so you know that it's not exact. In fact, it's an irrational number. It's represented by the Greek letter pi. Okay, it's 3.14, and it's a irrational number, so the decimal, the numbers never end. But anyway, for our purposes right now, we will assume that ratio of circumference and diameter is 3:1. Now, if that's true, if the circumference of the Sefer Torah is 6, what's your diameter going to be? Your diameter is going to be 2. Now, remember also, that actually would... It's funny because that would help us in this particular scenario. If you're using the, what we know is to be the more accurate number. But assuming 3:1, so it's going to be 2. Now remember, we're talking about a Sefer Torah, which means that it straddles not one pole, but it straddles two poles. So the truth of the matter is that its diameter is going to be even a little bit more than 2. And basically now what the Gemara is going to ask is, hey, it doesn't fit. Meaning if the empty space in the Aron, according to Rebbe Meir, is a total gap of 2 tefachim, our Sefer Torah will not fit. Now, I understand, and over here there's many things that you can question. Instead of the Sefer Torah going straight down, flat down, you can configure maybe the Sefer Torah go like that, side by side, one on top of the other. I understand all that. But right now, the Gemara is assuming that the Sefer Torah is going to be placed down, and there's just simply not enough room. And that's the payoff of this entire discussion. Isa Kedach on the top of Yudam and Beis. Isa Kedach, Sefer Torah, Kefa Vav Tvachim, Mechti Kosh, Yesh Be Kefa Shoshet Tvachim, Yesh Baruch of Tefach. So here the Gemara just simply outlines the ratio of 3:1 of diameter to, sorry, of circumference to diameter. V'kevim delem say niglal nafish lemi trei tafka rafcha debeinu beinu betrei push chehechi yasiv. And so Gomar asked the question, there's no room for the Sefer Torah to go in according to Rav Meir, assuming this ratio, and assuming that there's going to be two rolls, and there's a little bit of space between the two rolls, and hey, there's just simply not enough room. So Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Sefer Azara L'tchilaso Hu Niglal. So the Gemara says, okay, so but here's what we're going to say, and that is that the Sefer Azara, meaning the Sefer in the written by Moshe in the Azara, was not on two rolls, but it was on one roll. And it kind of makes sense, because as we said earlier, the reason why you do it on two rolls is because of usage. Over here, it wasn't used. So therefore, it was rolled only on one roll. But the Gemara says, but still, it's too tight a squeeze. Meaning, if the linear airspace in the Aron is two, and the roll of the Sefer Torah is two, the Gemara says, it's too tight. So the Gemara says, well, the entire thing wasn't rolled up. The end of it was left unrolled, so to leave just enough room for it to fit in. And the unrolled portion kind of flapped over the top. It'd be better if we had a picture. Oh, he does? Oh, okay, that's what I assumed. Okay, good. Rav Yehuda Mekam Delesi Argah Sefer Torah Heche Aviyasev. Okay, now as long as we brought all this up, so let's just tie up a little bit of loose ends. Okay, haha. So let's tie up some of the loose ends. According to Rav Yehuda, whose Sefer Torah did not go in the Aron, so it was placed in the box that was built by the and donated to us by the Plishtim and before the Plishtim. So the Gemara says, what happened? Hechi Avid Yosef Dapa Havanafik Mine V'Yosef Ilavei Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says that according to Rav Yehuda, there was a shelf, thank you. Okay, I just momentarily forgot English. I'm sorry. So there was a shelf placed on the side of the Aron, outside, external, and that's where the Sefer Torah was placed. Now, according to Rav Meir, what was placed on the side of the Aron? Because remember, we learned Psukim on the bottom of the previous Amud that something was placed on the side of the Aron. No, side does not mean outside. Side just simply means don't put the Sefer Torah between the two luchos. In other words, in the Aron, the two luchos go side by side, and on the side of the luchos, that's what side means, according to Rav Meir. On the side of the luchos, you put the Sefer Torah. Ulola megave menatzad. Now, according to Rav Meir, we know Shlomo HaMelech made the two silver poles. And according to Rav Meir, according to Rav Meir, where were they placed? So the Gemara says, Mibrai. They were placed outside of the Aron. Now, according to Rav Meir, how do I know that the Shivrei Luchos went inside the Aron? Now, remember, according to Rav Yehuda, he learned it out from the double miut. But Rabbi Meir already used the double miut to tell me that the Sefer Torah goes inside. How does Rabbi Meir know that the Shivrei Luchos go inside? Minale, what does he know that from? So nafkalemid Rav Huna Damer, Rav Huna Maidichsev, Ashenikra Sham, Shem Hashem, Tzvakos Yosheva Kruvim, Allah Malamed, Shaluchos Veshivrei Luchos, Munachem Ba'aron. So from the pasuk in Shmuel, so you can decode from there that both the Luchos and Shivrei Luchos went into the Aron. What Rabbi Yehuda does with that pasuk is he teaches me that in addition to the Luchos going inside the Aron, Shem Hashem and all the Kinuyim and all the other, you know, the AKAs of Shem Hashem also went in the Aron as well. Now, Reb Meir also needs that drasha for that point. And Achinam, the Gemara says, point taken. Another source where we see that Shivrei Luchos went into the Aron, Didni Rav Yosef, Asher Shibart of Asam Tem, Malamish Aluchos v'Shivrei Luchos Menachem Ba'aron. You broke and you will place. Meaning those two psukim are side by side, the broken pieces also go in. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, what do you do with that pasuk? Teaching me a different point altogether. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the first official Yeshar Koach to Moshe Rabbeinu for breaking the Luchos Rishonos. And so understood, it's not a halachic point, it's a hashkafic point, but a different point that was teased out from the pasuk of Asher Shibarta. The word Asher is similar to the word Yasher, meaning Yeshakoach. And again, more room for drasha. Why did Moshe receive Yasher Koach, and what Hashem was so pleased about? Again, that's where the drush comes in, and we'll stop over here. Okay, and tomorrow we talk Seder, we talk authorship. Order of Tanakh, author of Tanakh. Okay, fundamental daf coming up tomorrow. I mean, they're all important, but right, basic daf tomorrow in terms of Tanakh. So let's just quickly recap. We finished the topic of buying out your partner. Can you buy him out? Can you force a buyout on something which is indivisible? So Machlok is Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, and the Gemara at the end did not present a clear shita who we hold like. We started then with the brises regarding Tanakh. Can I put them all in one scroll? Do I have to divide them into Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim? Do I have to further divide them into individual Sfarim? Three-way Machlokas was where we started off. And then a multitude of halachas regarding the writing of a Sefer Torah, the blank space of the Sefer Torah, between one Sefer and another Sefer, at the front end, at the back end, a question of the circumference of a Sefer Torah, an aesthetically perfect Sefer Torah. How does the Sefer Torah fit into the original Aron, at least within the Shita of Rav Meir? According to Rav Yehuda, it didn't even go in the Aron. Okay, and that's where we end for today.